hidden by the uneven terrain and obscured by shadows in the spindly oak forest. Lydia, the name given to her by staff of the Siberian Tiger Project, was a 35th Amur tiger captured and released by this Russian-American research team. She was already an adult when caught in October 1999. At an estimated 6 years old then, she was in her prime for a species whose wild females might live to be 15. That day on the cliff in the spring of 2002, she wore a tan collar, made from a leather-like material the width of a belt, which held a radio transmitter about the size of a dinner roll. The device emitted a silent VHF signal, a constant, monotone thwacking sound that researchers could hear with a special receiver. This is how they studied Lydia's movements from afar. And as she sat lethargically, scanning her surroundings, two biologists were peering down on her from the sky, in a biplane, circling like an eagle riding a coastal updraft. If the tigers heard the drone of the airplane's motor overhead, she gave no indication. Over the 7 years that the Siberian Tiger Project tracked Lydia, from 1999 to 2006, she raised three litters and patrolled a territory that included about 20 kilometers of rugged coastline and stretched west another 15, climbing into the forested slopes of the Sekhetiyelin Mountains. Her home range intersected with that of Volodya, the 8-year-old resident male, who wore a collar as well. His territory was three times larger than hers and overlapped with that of several females. Lydia looked so perfect that morning in 2002, basking in the sun high above the rocks, wet from sea spray, that it would be natural to conclude that tigers had always been part of the landscape. But for decades, they hadn't. Predators once secure at the top of the food chain, Amur tigers had roamed unchallenged across nearly 3 million square kilometers of Northeast Asia for thousands of years. Then, following 70 years of hunting and habitat loss, tigers almost went extinct in Russia. By 1916, the coast that Lydia surveyed in 2002 had lost its tigers. Survivors had retreated inland, where humans were scarce. Only in recent history, sometime in the late 1960s following decades of conservation efforts, did tigers return to this edge of the sea. The scientists in the biplane radioed Lydia's location to colleagues on the ground. A team would hike to this cliff in a day or two, after the tigers had moved on, to investigate what she'd done there. Perhaps they'd find the remains of a kill, or evidence that she had consorted with Volodya, or nothing at all. Maybe she'd just been admiring the view. Such information would add to their body of knowledge about tiger ecology and inform management recommendations. The biplane's wings dipped west, drawing it toward the mountains in search of more collared tigers, leaving Lydia alone to gaze out over the water. Introduction. When a friend asked Dale McKell if he wanted to go to the Soviet Union to catch tigers and track them, he thought the idea sounded insane. It was also exactly what he was looking for. It was 1990, and Dale was 35 years old. He had a stocky build and a face dominated by a Tom Selleck-style mustache growing thick along his upper lip. His laugh was like a roar, an unexpected eruption of sound that surprised and infected those around him. And his eyes were like those of a bear, sharp, penetrating, and curious. He was a New Englander living in Northern Virginia, bored with his job at the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute, where he worked as an instructor for visiting scholars. He was trained as a field biologist and had professional experience in exotic places like Isle Royale in Lake Superior, Denali National Park in Alaska, and Chitwan National Park in Nepal. He'd been in the Washington, D.C. area for nearly 2 years and saw few opportunities for career advancement. Dale had never thought about Amur tigers, but he was eager to get back into the wilds, where he could make a more immediate difference in conservation than he could in the classroom. Amur tigers might be the answer. Dale was in regular contact with Howard Quigley, his friend from graduate school days at the University of Idaho. For more than a year, Howard had been telling Dale about a research project that he and his mentor, the renowned cougar biologist Morris Hornocker, had been trying to jumpstart with Soviet colleagues in eastern Russia to study tigers. The plan was to combine Russian strengths of fieldwork savvy and knowledge of tigers with American expertise of capture and tracking. Together, they would design a project, build stakeholder constituencies in the Soviet Union and in the United States, raise funds, and study tigers.